Somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them. You see, it's in the blood. Both kids are good and mom.
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and that was Sly and the Family Stone. One of my favorites. Of course, this is a day in history when their number one hit came out. There's a riot going on. We can play that for the rest of the half an hour. No, we got a conversation to have here. Before we jump into that conversation, I'll remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. And belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. So for more information, www.mecu.com. Or you can go online, steinershow.org, and click on their banner. It's always there. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. We are joined in the studio right now by Thaddeus Logan. Thaddeus Logan is a former vice detective, a cab driver, but he's a writer and author. Came out in 1984 with a book, Hey Cabbie. Now, its sequel came out last year, Hey Cabbie 2. We've been in conversation by email, running into each other, looking at the book. And at last, Thaddeus Logan on the Mark Steiner Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
410-319-8888 is the number here. You can write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. You can log on to our Facebook page for comments. You can tweet us at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888, as we get Thaddeus Logan here on the air with us with his book, Hey Cabbie. One of the things, Thaddeus, I've at least not really heard you asked anywhere. Yes, maybe you have been, but I'll ask you anyhow.
Yes.
Is you were a cop. You became a cabbie.
Yes.
But you decided to become a writer. Was writing something you've always done? Has it always been part of you since you were young?
No.
Or something just popped in later?
No.
How did that happen?
Well, I was a policeman. I was a policeman for Baltimore City.
Vice squad for a long time.
Vice squad and uniform police. And, you know, the majority of the work is reports, report writing. And the reports that you would write would be the beginning, a middle, and the ending. And after I went through a divorce and quit my jobs and went to California and returned and couldn't find employment or the employment where I wanted. I mean, I had just recently graduated from University of Maryland, University College.
You went to night school, got a degree in sociology,
yes,
right?
Yes, right. A degree in sociology. I had a lot of time on my hands once I became divorced. And I was also a salesman for Churchill Liquors and a Fortune 500 company by the name of Economics Laboratory. Well, I used to write these reports when I was a policeman, and I had all this time on my hands. So I started once I got into the cab business, I started recapping. It would be something unusual every day. And I started recapping. I just wrote it. It was like
therapy, and like a diary.
It was a journal, or I was thinking that I had problems, but once I got into the cab business, I mean, people's problems were, I mean, they were beyond me. So it made me feel a lot better about myself and writing, and then reviewing my writings.
But you also, I mean, you're self-published. I mean, a lot of people wonder how I get my book out there, but you just went off and published your own work, right?
Right, right. Well, it's not easy. If you're not a known celebrity, it's very hard to get something. I mean, this was years ago. I'm talking about 30 years ago.
Right.
It was very hard to get something published. And it was, you send your books off, you send your manuscript off, and they send it back, and a lot of times they don't even open it. They just return it. So I had a friend in Baltimore City schools, like a mentor. His name was Khalil Bay. He was a printing teacher at Carver Vocational High School,
right,
over in West Baltimore.
Right.
I went to him and I told him what I would like to do, and he helped me to set it up. This was a real self project. Some people we knew worked at the News American, one of our old newspapers, and they set what was called the galley sheets. We set the dimensions of the book. The book was 6x9, and then you had to use a T-square and the triangle to line everything up. It was really, and it's nothing like today. All you need today is Word. The book was, and I think that's how the book was, it helped to make the book number one because of the efforts and the time I put into it. And then I put my money up, which was about $5,000. I wanted a return on my money. I learned a lot from advertising in the sales world, from Churchill Liquors. I bought advertisement on the MTA buses. So this all
right.
helped to make the book maybe a household word in Baltimore 30 years ago.
Well, that's also a very catchy name you came up with, right?
Yes. Well, actually, I didn't come up with the name. Somebody came and got in the cab and said, "Hey, cabby, take me this place," which is probably the way they refer to cab drivers in New York City.
So why did you leave the police force?
Well, I got divorced. What really happened was that after a year, I didn't like the police department. I wanted to get off, and I started circulating resumes. And Churchill Liquors called me, and I was ready to go. I was ready to go because I was in detectives vice, dealing with gambling and prostitution, and they would only let you stay in there about 3 years, and then they would return you to the district, back to uniform, back to working all three shifts. And I just wasn't ready for that anymore. So a job came through, and that's how I got out of it. That's why I got out of it.
So, the world of being a cabbie, I knew you heard the show we did earlier in the in the break. It made me think of a bunch of things you've written about. It made me think about that story you told about this man got in your cab, very well dressed, African American man, train station, I think it was, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes.
And you drove around. This conversation made me think of that conversation you had.
Yes. He once lived in Baltimore, and he was from Seattle, Washington. He said he was into real estate. He was at a convention in Washington, D.C. He hadn't been here in years, and he wanted to see his old neighborhood. So he booked me for about 3 hours of my time, and we went to his neighborhood. We went up 83, took 83, took North Avenue West, and he noticed the new construction around Utah and North Avenue. Then when he got around McCullough Street, he saw a lot of hopelessness, from the people hanging around the liquor stores and all in the corners and the people jaywalking and the boarded up buildings. And then his mind started ticking when he got up around the Old Men Theater. Tickner's funeral home, it wasn't a long funeral home, it hadn't been a funeral home for 40 years.
Right.
Where Wilson's was in the Pratt Library. We were going down Fulton Avenue, and he noticed one of the makeshift memorials, and he asked me what was that. And I said, well, somebody was murdered.
We talked about it was a teddy bear and some
teddy
flowers.
Bears, right. Then we went around on McKean Avenue. He lived around Fulton and Baker. So we went around on the 1500 block on McKean Avenue, and where his house was, there were no houses. I mean, they were just weeds, maybe 6-10 feet high. And he just asked, somebody's not minding the store or something around here. And I said, well, I don't know. I really don't know the answers, but the city ought to have records of who these lots belong to, and I'm sure people can complain and at least keep the lawns better or the neighborhood better.
I mean, I'm curious how your life has changed a bit, Simon, in the people you've met. I mean, you had these great stories about the homeless amputee with was it one limb left, right?
Yes.
It was in your cab. You've had this story about, I remember this woman who came into your cab with two guys. I think she was a prostitute.
Junkie.
And that's different than doing it as a cop, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tell me what these things have said to you about people's humanity. I'll get into the other part. I want to ask you about why you did what you did, but the people's humanity, what is it that you've learned from this?
People are people. You know, I really learned what people are people. And then as a cop, you know, it was always after the fact and they're reporting, but just seeing these actual situations go down and I think the prostitute story, picking these people up, I really felt sorry for her.
And that was a long time ago. This is one of the early stories.
Yeah. I really felt sorry for her. Took her up, and she asked me to come back to get her. And I think they were Vietnamese or something, because we didn't understand them. And I asked her, how could you go off with these people like this? And she said, well, you do what you have to do. But I never realized that she was involved in drugs. All I know is it takes all kinds of people to make a world, who am I to judge what they do, why they do it, or how they got into it? But I found that most people's problems were stemming from sex, power, money, drugs, and rock and roll in the cab business. And I really found it out. We all after the same thing: food, shelter, and clothing. And then you have the have and the have-nots, rich man, poor man, or them against us. And that's what it seems like all of this is. 30 years ago, there were the same problems, but they weren't. It seems that stuff is like widespread all over the city. And the things that are happening, like in the southeast section of Baltimore, or South Baltimore, where, you know, hey, I mean, people come here and visitors come here and say the city is totally underrated. You know, it's much better than what it is. But then you get uptown, I can take you to situations like a third world country. You know, like we're under one flag, but it seems like it's two different cities or two different countries in one.
Share a couple of stories that pop out in your head that reflect what you just said.
Well, okay, the lady going tonight for a man around Martin Darman. She got in the cab. She had three kids.
Right.
She had something protruding from underneath her coat. I asked her what was underneath her coat, what was going on. She said she was going down around Martin Darman, and she was going to kill the children's father. And she wanted the children to witness us. And I said, I know you aren't for real, are you? And I just looked in her eyes, and I just anyway, she didn't find what she was looking for. It was a bag man. His fare was $130. He got this was years ago. He got his first Social Security check, which was about a couple grand. You remember Herb's Liquors used to be on Lawrence Street,
yep.
Lawrence and Fremont.
Yep.
He went on a shopping spree there. Took him to Bo Brooks when they used to be up on Bel Air Road.
Right, crab slice.
He was just throwing crab balls in his mouth. Took him to Luskin's years ago, and took him to Luskin's and he bought a TV, and then I took him out by the airport, and he just sat there like a little kid, you know, looking at his own television in the hotel room. A rich man story, picked a person up from Lexington Market. He wanted me to take him. He wanted to go to the train station. But first, it was him and his wife. They just left the, I can't think of the crab place in the back.
Where was it?
In Lexington Market. I can't think of the place in the back.
Fadley's.
He wanted to go to the ship to get his luggage. Anyway, the name of the ship was the World Ship or something. I said, I'm not familiar with the World. I'm familiar with most of the ships that dock here in Baltimore, the cruise ships. he said that the ship was his, I mean, it was apartment, and he could catch up with it any way around the world. He told me he had an apartment in New York and a house in Florida. I just said, you know, like, where do people get money like this from? There was a story about this lady I picked up in front of the World Trade Center. She was making almost five figures. She was 50 years old. She just got, I mean, they got rid of her because they had to downsize. She was crying. She lived in Park Heights, Clark's Lane section of the city, or Upper Park Heights. And, you know, she said that her condo fee and her car notes were you know, they were expensive, and she really didn't know how she was going to make it. She knew that the unemployment would last for a while and the buyout would last for a while, but she really had to get herself together. But her final thought was that, yes, I'm going to get over this, but, you know, if I have to be in a consultant, I'm going to plan my plan and work my plan and get out of this and try to get back to the same level of income, you know, that she was making when she was working downtown. I had a church lady. She was talking about. This was under when Sheila Dixon was the mayor, and she was just saying, I just can't wait till she gets out of office. And she says that the people were actually devastated. I said, wait a minute now. I've seen a lot of good things that Sheila Dixon has done around the city. And then she also talked about a church. Her daughter was getting married in this particular church in East Baltimore, and they wanted $1,800 for the wedding and $300 for the dress rehearsal or the rehearsal before the wedding. And she said that she had been a member for the church for 25 years. And she left the church.
So folks, enjoy us here, 410-319-8888, as we talk with Thaddeus Logan about his two books, Hey Cabbie and Hey Cabbie 2, 410-319-8888. And they are spread across decades and decades. His first book, written Hey Cabbie in 1984, that was for a long time the number one book at the Enoch Pratt Library, people checking out to read. But now his books can be found everywhere and anywhere. You can find your books on Amazon. You can put them on Nook. Times have changed.
Yes. Yeah. My books can be found on Amazon, Kindle, and book format. Greetings and Readings in Baltimore County, out in Hunt Valley. Normal's Bookstore, 425 East 31st Street. Everyone's Place in African Cultural Center, 1356 West North Avenue. Expressions, 222 North Packer, Atomic Books, 3620 Falls Road.
The bookstores across the city.
Across the city, yes.
And but you can also now you're on Amazon, right?
Yes, I'm on Amazon.
So that's
and also my web address is www.hatecabbie.net, and if you want a personal autographed book, my email address is thad.logan@yahoo.com, and autographed books make excellent Christmas gifts.
So tell me what you've learned, though, in terms of you have this piece you showed me, which you have this Hey Cabbie study guide, in case people want to use the book like in schools.
Right.
Well, but what if you – so if you just have like race and ethnic relations, what if stories like that you learn from the Latino population you just got here that you put in here, or other things that you've learned about race that came to you through this work as a cab that you wouldn't have seen otherwise? I mean, what is it you've learned out of that?
Well, okay, I've learned that race is a real factor in the city. The city is a real racist city, but the Latinos – they are discriminated against just as much as blacks or African Americans in this city. African Americans have a rough time catching a cab in the city. I mean, they just pass you up. sometimes it can be a healthy fear, but most of the time it's not, and people are just being judgmental.
Have you ever passed anybody up?
Oh, yes.
Why? Why'd you pass them up?
Well, at this stage of the game, they didn't look like they could pay the fare. I mean, you know. I mean, you really become a judge. I've been doing this for 35 years. I didn't think I would be doing it for 35 years. I just took this job for the minute. But first of all, you look at a person and, are these people going to kill you or murder you? And second, can they pay the fare? And it goes on from there. You might see, a lady on the street, flagging the cab, and, she might have that narcotic or alcoholic look and not dressed and no pocketbook. She flagged, you would pass up because you figure, it's just a judgment call. And then a lot of times, it's my gut feeling, because when I get in there, it's all kinds of trouble and they don't have the money, and you have to put them out or call the police to have them put out the cab. But I've learned an awful, awful lot, and it's a real injustice, things that have happened around this city. It's true, we all have to food, shelter, and clothing, but there is a big, big, big divide with minorities and the poor. I don't think people realize the serious exodus in this city to get the poor and minorities out, from the implosion of the projects to relocating uptown on the fringes of the county or outside the city. At times, I don't know if I'm in a living in a socialist government or capitalist government. I mean, I can be in Section City. There's no money, and no more than the first of the month, when their checks come out, and the serious food deserts these people have, and the poor, or even the banks are closing up and moving out. Bank of America is closed like four banks within the inner city. I mean, the one in Franklintown and Franklin Street will be closing soon. The one on Bel Air Road is closed. The one on Pennsylvania Avenue is closed. And the one right down here in Northwood Shopping has been closed. So, our transportation system is not the best to get these people around.
A whole lot of banks and food markets leaving poor communities, mm-hmm. working class communities is happening. I mean, we always talk about the supermarkets. We don't talk about the banks leaving.
Yeah, banks are closed, too.
Which no places. So we can sell people the lottery. waste your money in the lottery, but don't put your money in a bank and save it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that you're right about the other thing that people, as you've seen over the last how many years has it been now? You've been
35 years
at Cabbie.
35 years. And these books are then and now. 30 years ago, when I got into this business, I mean, I was partying, wild, having the time of my life, as opposed to now. It's a whole lot more serious in what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people and their products. People and their problems, how the schools and what's happening in the schools. Through example, an example would be in my second book, there are 80 stories, 80 vignettes, and they cover from the rich to poor to the poor and everything in between. And I don't know. Some of the stuff just seems like biblical times. The people live in the castle, the haves live in the castle, and all the have-nots live outside. And if you look at it, a lot of people don't realize we have an awful lot of gated communities around the city. They're not necessarily like the place on Falls Road.
Cross Keys?
Cross Keys. They're not necessarily like Cross Keys. But if you go downtown in southwest Baltimore and southeast Baltimore, they're high-rise gate. You're not going to get past the receptionist, or a parking lot might be on the first three or fourth stories, and then housing is above, and the price structure of all of these places is really out of sight, out of mind. I mean, people just they just don't have the money to get to them.
Thaddeus Logan, it's been great to have you here at Last Thaddeus. Thank you so much for joining us.
Was that it?
The books, Hey Cabbie and Hey Cabbie 2, you can get them on Amazon. We will connect to them on our website, steinershow.org. You can see how you can get the book from Amazon and bookstores around the city. That has been a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Mark, and I'd also like to thank the listening audience.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Bye-bye.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Mark Gunnery and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer today is Andrew Holt. You can hear this show again, podcast our past shows, find information about our guests just by going to steinershow.org. You can also download all of our programs on iTunes right now. You listen right now to the Rolling Stones, Underneath of Us, going out with Fighting Man. And for public radio, it'll be EAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.